Good morning. Let me say a short prayer before we begin. Lord, we are thankful for your love and your grace and your mercy that is showered down upon us every morning. And as we come into your house, may you meet us here. May you open our hearts, ears, and minds to your word to know that you are not only at work in our lives, but also in this world. That you would help us to understand your story, not only from creation, but how it ends, and how we are part of that story. So we pray that you would guide our steps throughout this time together, that you would send us out from here to be your salt and your light. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So it's good to be back with you this morning. In October at OCM Main Church, we have our annual Missions Month. And we, a lot of times, invite different missionaries to come and share with us what they're doing globally. When we think of, you know, missionaries, we think of people who might be at far off places and other countries, who try to share the gospel where, you know, they might not know who Jesus is. But for us, you know, sometimes we take a laid back approach. We'll say, you know, we'll let other people do it. We'll let other people share the gospel. But it's not for me. I don't know about you and how you look at personal evangelism, but you might think it's too hard. But what if you found the cure for cancer? Would you keep it to yourself? No. Thank you. So, would you keep it to yourself? Well, Jesus is the cure for spiritual cancer, and those who do not believe in him will continue to suffer in their sins, but they're also going to suffer from eternal death when they pass from this life. So it's our duty as followers of Jesus to be compelled to share the gospel with everyone, because Jesus will save them not only from their sin now, but from eternal death. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As you guys saw earlier, today's sermon title is God's Story. And I want to share with you how to tell God's story to others, to give you tips, you know, how to do personal evangelism. So the Bible is God's story. And some scholars say the Bible could be broken up into four parts or four sections. The first part is creation. In Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning was God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see them working to bring together everything into existence. God spoke the heavens and earth into creation, and they were created. He spoke, and you know, the earth was filled with vegetation, it was filled with all living creatures. And then he created man and woman, Adam and Eve. Verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And that God declared everything good, and God blessed it. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's our king, and he reigns over everything. He is sovereign over everything. He has authority over everything. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. God is all these things in all his glory. This is the God that we worship. God made everything good and he blessed it. God knew that even though everything was good, it wasn't going to mean that everything was going to stay that way. Because when he created humanity, he gave humanity a choice. The ability to choose to obey or to disobey him. And that leads us to the second part, which is the fall. And we see this in Genesis 3. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he communed with them every day. He gave them everything. He provided everything for them. He cared for them. He loved them. But he told them not to do one thing, which was to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But as we know, the devil disguised himself as a snake and tricked Adam and Eve to eat from the fruit, from the tree. And their eyes were opened not only to see good, but also to see evil. They disobeyed God and they sinned. And for their disobedience, God punished Adam and Eve by casting them out from the Garden of Eden, and ultimately his presence and his protection. And death was introduced into all of creation, and we would suffer for it. But as we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God had a plan all along. In verse 15 it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This offspring of the woman foreshadows the Messiah, someone who will come and crush Satan's head and redeem humanity. And we see throughout the Old Testament, God is reaching out to humanity. He's offering them a relationship with him, if only they would worship and obey him. And God would set up this sacrificial system for Israel. Israel is his chosen people to atone for their sins and to be right with God. But this would be only temporary, as the people would be tempted by the things of this world. It would lead them to worship other gods and disobey God, the Almighty God. Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations and point others to God. But instead, they were influenced by the other nations and other peoples, and they turned to away from worshiping the one true God to worshiping all these idols. And they would be punished for their disobedience. In the midst of the Old Testament, there were all these prophecies of the seed of the woman, the Messiah that would come as king to redeem his people. And that's where we have the third part, which is redemption in the New Testament and our present age. John 1, verse 4, 1 to 5 as was read. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Redemption comes in the form of Jesus, who fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And we're introduced by John to the Word, who was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. John says Jesus was in the beginning with God, and he states that Jesus is God at the end of verse 1, by saying the Word was God. John tells us that he helped to create everything. Everything that was made in Genesis, the heavens and the earth, as I mentioned before, as I shared that creation was done, everything was made by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see in John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth." Here we see God sending Jesus into the world to be incarnate in the flesh. God is here with us. Jesus is not only 100% God, he's 100% man. Jesus would reveal himself to be the Messiah, not only through his teachings, but also by displaying his sovereignty over all of creation. He would heal people who would be lame, and they would walk. The blind would see. The seas would be calmed. Jesus is sovereign also over death by raising Lazarus back to life. But some didn't believe that Jesus was king. They didn't see that he would be king to come and save Israel, because they thought the king would be coming to overthrow the Roman government, to save Israel, to free them. But the thing is, Jesus instead was captured. He was tortured. He was eventually crucified by the Roman government. He was put on the cross and he died. And he was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, Jesus resurrected and showed himself to his followers, both men and women, to prove that he was the Messiah of the Old Testament. He was the Messiah that was prophesied for. Jesus was the Messiah who would crush the head of Satan, and he would not only conquer death, but also sin. Jesus is the one who would come and redeem humanity by becoming the ultimate atoning sacrifice to reconcile man to God. This is the good news. The King is here. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is the Messiah. We as humanity need to acknowledge this. We need to repent, because he is the Messiah, and we need to believe. This is God's story. But I'm not finished here, because not only is this the good news, but there's also an ending part. The fourth and final part is recreation in Revelation and the age to come. In the end, when Jesus comes again, God will recreate a new heaven and a new earth, and he will make everything new. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither there shall be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be no sin, no death, no tears, no pain. Creation begins in a garden, but recreation ends in a city. Everyone will be there worshiping God. They will fall down to meet their Maker. And those who believe will live with him and worship him for eternity. But those who do not believe will be cast away from God's presence. This is God's story, summarized in four parts: creation, fall, redemption, and recreation. So, if we believe that God is God, he's creator of all, he reigns over all, he reigns on high in the heavenly realms, and he's sovereign over all, he's king and lord over all. Every nation will be subject to his authority, and every knee shall bow before him, because he is the one true God. We believe that we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. We believe that this world is broken and fallen. We believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way other than through Jesus. This is what we believe. This is the good news. And this is what we know is true. If we believe this, then it is our duty to share the gospel with others so that they are saved. So when it comes to sharing the gospel today, I think a lot of times we have minimized it. We have maligned it in our day. A lot of times we might have diminished our King. We reduced Jesus, the King, to a poor, puny Savior, sometimes who's begging for people to accept them into his hearts and to invite them into our lives. Sometimes these phrases that we might say is not written in God's word. We've reduced the gospel of the kingdom sometimes to a quick presentation. If we could get someone to say and pray the right things back to us, we pronounce them to be saved, to be a Christian. They have sealed themselves for heaven. But the thing is, the gospel is not fire insurance. It is not fire insurance. Jesus is not a Savior who pleads for someone's casual approval. He is our sovereign King who deserves our eternal praise. And God, forgive us of this, because sometimes we have taken the gospel, the lifeblood of the kingdom, and we've minimized it this way. So the thing is, today we rarely talk about the glory of God, God's holiness, his sovereignty. We also need to know the depth of our sinfulness and the justice that is due to our sin. The eternal justice that a lot of times that we deserve because of our sin. And that is eternal death. That is hell. This is why we need the good news. We need God's grace. Because we are subject to God's condemnation, God's justice. And that's why Jesus came. He died for our sins as an atoning sacrifice on the cross. And he rose on the third day, and all those who believe are saved. So this is God's story, and we need to share God's story. Richard Peace, in his book Holy Conversation, writes, "Effective evangelism must start with recognizing where God is already at work and getting alongside God and what he's doing there. God's story, not our story, is the authentic starting point." In this book here, Telling a Better Story, How to Talk About God in a Skeptical Age, is by Joshua Chatrell. He writes in this book, "Until recently, most outreach strategies has focused on verbally sharing the gospel, getting unbelievers to attend the evangelistic event, being able to answer basic intellectual questions, yet still assuming that the unbelievers understood and shared a common framework, for considering religious claims. This approach worked when we lived in a culturally Christian society. The context in which, most of our past outreaches have developed, Christianity was seen as culturally good, something that helps society to flourish and function well. Good people went to church, attending religious events such as revivals or church services, which were the primary vehicles of the Christian message, were both implicitly and explicitly encouraged. Our society had, you know, a general good respect for religion. So you could stick to invite people to church, occasionally sending someone to the experts, maybe a leader or a pastor, you know, if they had a hard question. But the thing is, if you haven't noticed, things have changed over the past decade or even two decades. Today, there's a growing social sentiment that discourages people from attending churchy events or even seriously considering the Christian message. But why is this so? There's been a shift that has occurred in Western culture. Not only is God absent from the fabric of a lot of our important institutions or cultural centers, but there has been an array of competing views about life's most important questions, which are available to everyone. Religious belief is just one of the many options that are out there. People, you know, may have so many misunderstandings and critiques and fears about Christianity. It's hard to even know where to begin. A story strike a more personal note and, you know, can be much more less contentious. For us to be able to share our story. To put it practically, if we walk up to, you know, a new acquaintance and say something like, "What is your worldview?" You'll probably get a confused expression or maybe even a defensive reaction. But if we ask them, "What's your story?" Their eyes, you know, might light up. They might be more friendly to engage in a meaningful conversation because it actually communicates that you care for the other person. You want to know who they are. You want to have a conversation with them. Because people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And if you listen closely as they tell their story, you're likely to hear how they make sense of themselves, but also their view and the world around them. And once you do this, you enter into this person's social imagination, engaging in their ideas from within. It's not enough to recognize that someone has different assumptions and common sense thinking that sometimes differs from us. We need to take a step into their story because we need to do this before we point them a way out. Someone who has assumed the givens of late modernism begins and brings deeply rooted assumptions. A lot of times don't flippantly discard those assumptions in favor of the Bible or of Christianity. So we must engage on their story, tug at their assumptions, and to invite them to consider a better story, which is God's story. By beginning within their story, listening for hints of larger narratives that inform their life, paying attention to what they look in order to fulfill, who they are, we're positioned to identify common ground, commonalities, and changing their view on their terms to show them that, you know, maybe some of these cultural narratives fail to live up to their deepest aspirations. And then we can show them a better story, which is God's story. So in terms of practical things that we can do for personal evangelism, the first one is listening. As we've mentioned, listen to their story. People do not care what you know until they know that you care. So start listening and find common ground to start a spiritual conversation to be able to share God's story. Second practical thing is to pray. Prayer is a vital and essential part of evangelism because we do not convert people. God is the one who saves, with the power of His Holy Spirit. God is already at work in the life of this person. Because the thing is, when we pray, we intercede on the behalf of that person to break down spiritual strongholds and barriers that Satan might put up. And Satan will do anything and everything to stop us. He will distract us and discourage us, but we must be resilient to pray unceasingly for that friend or that family member. Recently, over the past few months, I've been taking an evangelism training with Redeemers City to City. And I want to share with you guys some of the practical things that we could do with personal evangelism. The next one is prayer quadrants, which can be seen in this PowerPoint. Each quadrant is one aspect of your life. There's one that says family, other says work, other says school or neighborhood, and those who might have an affinity for God or the gospel. So for each quadrant, to put a name in each quadrant and to pray for them specifically over a period of time. Because prayer is important. Because prayer changes the heart. Not only ours, but also the person that you're praying for. The next tool that we could have is spiritual conversations. Generally, when we have conversations with people, we go from shallow to more specific to a more deeper conversation. And this is what this PowerPoint shows. We start off with questions for the other person. You know, sometimes it's a general interest question. Then we ask something a little bit more specific. Then we go a little bit deeper into maybe an issue question. And finally, we can share a God question, something to help them think about God, to think about the spiritual aspect. So an example of this would be an example of a conversation with two nurses. So the general interest question would be, what made you go into nursing? A specific interest could be, what's your area? Why did you choose this specific area? And what are some challenges? An issue question could be, what are some ways you have offered hope to patients who might be terminal? And a spiritual question could be, have you ever thought what difference knowing that there is a God could make with your patients who might be at the end of their life? To think about God in a spiritual way. So as we conclude this morning, I want you guys to think of one person. One person that you could pray for their salvation. One person that God could open the door for you to have a spiritual conversation. One person that is placed on your heart that you need to share God's story with this year. Frank Retief, he was a pastor and a church planter in South Africa. He has this quote saying, "People without Jesus go to hell." If we truly believe that, you've got to take risks. You got to take a chance, but also be prepared to fail. Don't worry if the person doesn't accept Jesus right away. God is using you to plant a seed. And God is working in that person. We pray that one day it will come to fruition. But God is using you. It doesn't have to be one time only. You might need to have more conversations, but God is working in that person. So continue to pray for that person, to share God's story, but let's do our part. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are His witnesses. So let's go and share the gospel and God's story with a world that is lost. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your story. That when you created not only the heavens and the earth, you created us. Everything was good and you provided for us and you blessed us. And we failed you. We disobeyed you, not only for Adam and Eve, but also us. Everyone has failed you. And that's why we need Jesus. You came down to this earth to reach out to us, not only to show us the way to God, but also to be that atoning sacrifice, to take our place, to die for us, and to resurrect again, to give us eternal life. So let us know this, not only for ourselves, but to share this with others, to share the gospel, this good news with others, because we want people that we care for, our family, our friends, our coworkers, to come to know Jesus. So that we could celebrate at the end. To worship God for eternity. Because we are not going to live forever. We know where we're going. So we pray that you will help us to share the gospel. Give us that one person that we will pray for, that we will talk with, that we will have spiritual conversations with, that you, Lord God, will work in their lives this year. Jesus, I pray. Amen.